Very well-known local television reporter for many years and, of course, done a lot of great stories. But I think one of your most interesting stories is something that you started to delve into a number of years ago. And it started with, I believe you said, a DNA test. You just assumed you were, you know, Boston Irish. Didn't turn out quite that way.
It was actually not a DNA test. It was just interest in my own family. Mm-hmm. We had always assumed, and we are largely Irish in the later generations. I was always interested in my mother in particular's family because her grandfather was in the Civil War. So that was the genesis of my interest in the family tree. And maybe about 10 years ago, I decided to take another look at the Civil War period of my mother's family and then began peeling back the onion skins. And I was like, wait a minute. We had always thought that the Civil War guy was just a few generations removed from Ireland. But mm-hmm. That was not the case. He went way back to New York State, before that, Rhode Island, and before that, Plymouth Colony.
That's really amazing. And do you want to share who your original ancestor was off the boat?
There were actually five, but there's one primary one. It's William and Susanna White, along with their family. Their two sons, Peregrine and Resolved. Peregrine White is pretty well known in this area. He was the first child born after they got over here. He was born on board the Mayflower while it was anchored in Cape Cod Bay. So he happens to be my eighth great-grandfather.
That's some fascinating stuff. And now it was interesting. So you got involved with this whole story, the America story, the original story, but that wasn't the whole story. And then you started getting involved and interested in the entire picture with Native Americans. Tell me how this evolved.
Well, I was always, of course, fascinated by the Native American component because, let's face it, they're right beside us, way back then, and they played a role as well. Along the way, the original story about just my family, we were having some funding challenges, and it just wasn't getting too far. But constantly, as I researched this, I kept on hearing about something else, in addition to simply the Native Americans and the challenge they faced as well, but also this horrific plague, which apparently struck what's now coastal New England between 1616 and 1619, at least approximately. It just took a terrible toll, and it's important to note and to stress that this happened even before the Mayflower arrived. The Pilgrims did not bring this plague, but it was caused by contact, we think, with European traders and fishermen, you know, over the previous mm-hmm. years, particularly in northern New England. They had some sort of malady that they had a resistance to, but the Native Americans did not.
And do you have any idea? I'm not sure there's any real record of that, but any kind of percentage or idea about how many people it affected or wiped out?
One of the things that surprised me, at least according to what is largely an oral tradition of the indigenous people, but in some villages, in some areas, as high as 90%, and then it goes down to 60%. And with the caveat that, let's face it, it's hard to tell, you know, that far back. But the death toll, as we understand it, was just terribly, terribly significant. And it was really something.
And it was an important story for you to tell. So this is something that you delved into. And people are going to get an opportunity to see this on WGBH. Tell me about date and time, how long it is, and the name of this show.
It's a half-hour documentary called Surviving New England's Great Dying. The Great Dying is a phrase that some indigenous people used to describe this terrible event in history. So Surviving New England's Great Dying, it will be airing Thanksgiving night, 7:30 on WGBH.
Now, I know that a lot of Native Americans have a very grand oral tradition and carry the stories down through generations. Is this something that you were able to tap into?
Yes. I mean, it would have been really hard to do without their assistance, and they were very gracious and letting us in, if you will. Mm-hmm. People like Paula Peters from the Wampanoag tribe, she was just so much of a raft of information, and she plays a central role in this production as well. As we also spoke with other indigenous people, including some Abenaki from northern New England. And you can see that Patuxet, which is now Plymouth, was just devastated. There were accounts of bones and skeletons just left on top of the ground and villages abandoned in a hurry. The Native Americans write about that or talk about that, but also there's some Pilgrim writings about that too.
What else that was very interesting or you didn't expect information that came out of doing the work for putting this documentary together? What was something else very unknown? As I admitted to you earlier, until you told me about this plague, I have to say that I never heard about it.
I think, you know, just going back to the percentages, just mm-hmm. how high they were and how resilient these populations were that they survived and made it through. It's also interesting that there were some tribes that weren't as impacted. So that's sort of interesting, too. Down further down by Narragansett Bay, those tribes, for some reason, it stopped. And again, it's hard to tell so far back.
In your research and speaking with other Native Americans, do you think the fact that this great plague had happened and then the Mayflower arrived affected their attitude, the Native Americans, whether they were going to be friendly or not friendly with them? Do you think different tribes might have thought, well, we're going to avoid these people because this may have brought the first problem, or we need these people? Did that affect it at all?
Well, of course, it's conjecture, but there's a lot of comment that it would have been different. History would have been different if Patuxet was vibrant and totally unimpacted by this plague. As it was, the Pilgrims themselves were in a tremendously tenuous situation. Half of their number gone during the first winter, the rest of them barely hanging on from a variety of ailments, not this particular plague, but scurvy and pneumonia. And as I said, half of them gone, so they needed some help. And as it turned out, the Wampanoag, it would appear, needed some help. So that may have been the genesis of at least a tenuous bond.
Is there anything I haven't asked you about your documentary or this situation that you think our listeners might want to know?
Well, it's important to also note that the other half of this also deals with current modern-day efforts, tribal efforts to handle COVID. That was also, I guess, a major goal of this documentary, or a reason why we did it, I mm-hmm. should say, because there's two touchstones in history. We've got the 400th anniversary, and we've got a plague then, and hate to say it, a plague now.
When you got involved with this, which is a very interesting topic, has this evolved now where you're thinking, I'm going to do another documentary? Is there anything else in the works that has started from this project?
Hard to say right now, just catching my breath. But, you know, it's always good when, as a journalist, you undertake something and you learn, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the case here.
That's definitely the right attitude to have. Is there a website or a Facebook page that has more information about this project, this documentary?
There's the NHPBS, mm-hmm. NHPBS, New Hampshire Public Broadcasting.
And anything else interesting that you want to add about this? Because I think it's a great project. You made it happen.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's great.
Yeah, it just gives us, it gives us a broader look, and it just illuminates something that some people might not be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a history lover.
This is terrific. Well, I appreciate you joining us today, Jim. We'll let people know about this. I think it's a great story, and I'm anxious to watch it, and I appreciate you getting back to me and letting us know, because I know a lot of people would be interested in seeing this as well. Thanks so much again, Jim Smith.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.